Paul Tonko, Attorney General Holder, recently said that the Republican coming after him with a contempt citation is really not about him. It's really about going after President Obama. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely thought it was a witch hunt. I thought that what we had in that move to have the Congress address contempt of the House was surely to bring about embarrassment to the administration. Now, this move was an historic move in that it would have been the first time that a member of cabinet of a sitting administration would be charged with contempt. That, when you think about it, is a serious bit of business that the Congress was taking on. And there appeared to be a very rush factor involved, very few days of review. There were Democrats that they encouraged to be quizzed and brought before the committee. That was denied. And there was also the concern that, you know, what they had charged.
Did they charge for?
Well, they charged that he had knowingly approved the gun walking that was going on, where you would label guns, number them, get them into the hands of, circulate these guns where they can get into the hands of criminals at the borders, and then determine from there the crime that was done and make the pending charges. And basically, you know, the AG, when Mr. Holter found out about this operation, he halted it. He made it very clear there was no evidence produced whatsoever, but they continued to go forward. People even put a resolution on the floor. Let's go back to committee and host a sharp and deep and thoughtful investigation, which would have been appropriate because these are serious charges. It's to bring balance between or amongst the various branches, in this case primarily the executive and legislative, but also the judicial.
Well, so if it was politically motivated, Paul Tonko, do you think, in fact, that it succeeded? I mean, my impression, for whatever it's worth, is that, you know, they held him in contempt. The administration said, we're not going to honor this, and we're certainly not going to put him on trial for this. And the American people all yawned. I don't see it as having had tremendous consequences.
I don't think it got. In fact, I was surprised how little attention it got. Yeah. I thought for certain I was prepared to respond to many inquiries that were going to come about, and it got no attention. What it did inspire, I think, was additional acrimony. And there's just such a division that is brought about by these efforts of hate and denial.
I think to some degree, Paul, we may have some instruction here in terms of what happened to Bill Clinton. Poor Bill Clinton, with the Monica Lewinsky thing, had to sit there in the well and take it while they decided whether or not he would be impeached. First, they did impeach him in the House, and then whether or not he would be convicted. And, you know, nothing happened, and the American people ended up loving this guy just as much as anybody they've ever had.
Right. I think, in a way, what's happened here is similar for President Obama, because he was tried, he was tested, and he proved to people that this is a witch hunt. I think a lot of people saw it as that. And when it was made clear that there was no evidence in many of these situations, then I think the public said, well, then why are you still going through with this? And there was a walk. There was a walk on the vote just to discredit the way they approach this given tool that is provided for Congress. It should be used in very deliberately and as a last resort. And what they did was, without much time, I'm told that this was just a drop in the bucket of time compared to other areas where they've gone for contempt, and that wasn't against cabinet members. Here you've got a cabinet member where you should be absolutely certain, and they went forward and just tried to dramatize the situation, misinforming people, not dealing with facts. There was no evidence produced, and in fact, they had provided thousands of documents. The administration provided thousands of documents, and there was nothing showing any evidence whatsoever about, you know, knowingly going forward with a project. In fact, it showed where, when he was informed, he discontinued it. And I think that that says a lot.
Now I got a tough question for you. There were a couple of Blue Dog Democrats who voted for the citation. I understand that. They're in Republican districts. They're one. They're Democrats. But in fact, do they get a free pass, a free ride from the Democratic Party in Congress for doing that?
No, I think people you know, there were a number of people saying that this should be a strong statement. Many were encouraging that we should be united in that vote because it was clearly a misuse of a tool, again, provided Congress. And so I think everyone was working as hard as they could to convince people that they ought to show clearly in that vote. So I don't think there was a ride given. Some believed that, I think given the nature of their district, that they have to vote that way. But clearly...
Can I just talk about that with you for a second? Because I've always thought... I remember a young assemblyman in the Hudson Valley District, or one of the Hudson Valley districts, who said he would not vote for Clinton, as we just discussed that thing. And he lost as a result of that. He's been subsequently reelected, but he lost. Because I think what happens is the Democrats hate your guts, and the Republicans say, I'm voting for the Republican.
Well, and beyond that, I think people see it as political posturing.
Yes, opportunism.
And that doesn't always serve you well. I think that you're right. In these situations where there are absolutely difficult votes and where it may be an unpopular vote on the outset, when you describe and define how you got to the bottom line, it builds your credibility. Even if you say, look, I knew when I was voting that this was not a popular thing, but in my heart, in my mind, I think it was the right thing. It builds your credibility. And I think what further complicated the situation, there was scoring by the NRA. On the measure.
Mm.
And so I think people were thinking if they have a huge membership of NRA. But again, it didn't seem, to me, it seemed kind of awkward that there was an involvement there on this given issue because it was clearly about administrative authority and awareness and when certain items were brought to people's attention. And it was more a bureaucratic or administrative success or failure or honorable action that was up for test rather than any discussion about firearms, I believe.
And when you caucused, when the Democrats caucused and discussed this, what was the nature of that discussion?
Well, there were other groups that were suggesting, implying that they were going to score, too, that might...
Like who?
Oh, there were certain labor groups mm-hmm. that were talking about perhaps scoring.
Scoring so, meaning?
Well, registering your vote, sharing it with membership, and using it as a guide as to whether or not you endorse a campaign in this upcoming election. So, but you know, again, here it was important to do the right thing. And whether it was popular or not, I believe you had to call it for what it was. And it was a witch hunt. It was a design, I believe, to go forward without all the facts, rushing it through. I'm told that it was hundreds of days that would accompany a move to vote on contempt in the past. They would spend inordinate days and hours in committee meetings to really come together with the case. And
it's just utterly political.
Here it was just rushing it through. And even before the vote was taken, there was this challenge made to take it back to committee to do an investigation that was denied. So clearly they were afraid of additional evidence, of bringing in some Democratic office holders.
And they wanted to get the business done. I mean, they just wanted to do it politically.
And they didn't want to talk about the past administration, where it all began under the clock of President Bush.
Interesting. That's particularly fascinating. And as are you, Paul Tonko. I always appreciate it when you come in and you talk to us here in the studio. Great fun to have you here, and thanks for doing it.
My pleasure.